that man? Yeah. He told me to get up here tonight and say, well, I ain't as smart as most preachers. And he's going. But I told him I was going to say, well, I'm a lot smarter than that damn McDonald. And then I think his sister was going to kick in on that one somewhere. So anyway, it was a blessing. I appreciate the choir. And Brother Stewart, if you do jump up and they're still singing, just start waving your hand and shouting, glory, hallelujah. So it's been good this evening, hasn't it? Let's see if I can try not to mess it up. Brother French, I enjoyed that this morning. I really did. I appreciate that. And you won't be getting nothing deep from me like you got this morning. He's reading about that tree at the river. And I would have just read that and said there was the tree by the river, and you would have thought, well, that's a tree by the river. But he got to talk about the wind blowing. And I pictured when I go fishing, that tree's been cut out underneath, but it's rooted down. It's not going in. And I enjoyed that this morning. That was a blessing. It's a blessing that we have some men that can fill the position when the pastor's gone, and I'm sure he appreciates that, and we appreciated that this morning. This evening, I'm going to give you something that was given to me. I was looking at this, and I wrote this down. You ever write, someone tell you something, you write it down? You know, we don't do that as much now as we ought to, but someone gives you something that's good, you ought to write it down. And I had a dear friend before I'd got married back in 2004, give me five things. Told me I needed these five things, I needed to have this in my family. And, you know, starting a new household and these five things. And so I'm going to share them with you this evening because I thought, you know, it's a new year. Maybe these would be five things that you could use this year that would help you. I hope it will help you. And so if you have your Bibles, we'll start in Matthew chapter number 6. I know it's a new year, and I know that probably, no doubt, people have probably made New Year resolutions, right? And I don't have anything against that. Only thing I say to you, though, is if you're going to do something, get God involved in it. Because I'm nothing. I can make all the promises to myself, and I'm going to do whatever, but I'm nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so pray about it and have Him help you with it. I was thinking about this gentleman I work with, and he told me the other day, says he's going to make a New Year's resolution. He's going to stop drinking. He says, I have a problem stopping drinking. And he said, I'm going to stop drinking. And I told him, I said, what you need to do is get the Lord involved in that. You need to get your family in church. You need to get around the things of God, and you need to get saved and have God help you with that. And I told him he didn't have a problem stopping drinking. He stopped. The last time he put it down, he was done. He's got a starting problem. So pray for him. And that's a serious matter, because that can ruin a house. That can ruin a home. I praise the Lord that my dad wasn't an alcoholic and a drunk when I was growing up. I just praise the Lord for that, because I've seen it. I've seen how it can affect a family. And I had to, our insurance changed this year at our company, that we all had to go do a health assessment. So I was thinking about New Year's resolutions. I think about dieting, and I thought, well, you know, I went and took a, you know, I had to, they prick your finger and they test all these things, and then they set you down and tell you where your numbers are. And they got this chart. And unfortunately, some of mine didn't even register on the chart. So that poor lady, she was just as serious as could be, and she started talking, and she said, now, Robert, she said, you need to, one thing you can do to help your diet is when you eat a salad, take you some crushed walnuts or some of them little seeds and put on top of it, and that'll help you. Eat less peanuts. See, I eat a lot of peanuts. She says, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And I said, well, I was just kidding with her. And I said, well, no, ma'am, I don't. She goes, you know, the little nuts that come in the back. I said, no, I know what that is. What's a salad? And she didn't. And she didn't smile. And I thought, I'm done. I'm not. That's enough. She's. I told my wife, I said, it's hard on me, though, because I love the Snickers with the peanuts in them. So now I've had to switch to the Snickers with almonds. Okay. That's enough funny. Okay, everybody ready now? All right. Matthew chapter number 6. I'm going to try to embarrass her for the night. If I keep talking, she gets embarrassed enough. She says, hey, I'm never mind. I got to go home tonight. So Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number... The five things, the first one I'm going to talk about is praying. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of man. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dear, kind, and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given us, Lord. God, we thank you for our Bibles. God, you've been so good to us. And Lord, we just thank you for the year you've given us. But Lord, help us to move forward this year. Lord, I pray that we could give you all the praise, honor, and glory in the way we live our lives this year, Lord. We thank you and we love you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first thing is praying. That's one thing that I need to work on this year, that you may need to work on this year. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told to pray without ceasing. You know, we should be in a state of a situation where we can just pray at any time, where we could just go to God at any time. We ought to, our sin account, we ought to keep that short with God. We ought to confess our sins to God. We ought to be in that position, because you never know when you're going to need to go to the Lord in prayer. You might get a phone call this evening and someone tell you something tragic's happened, or somebody's sick, or somebody needs your prayer. And you need to be able to go to the Lord in prayer at that time. I thank God for the folks of this church and the way we pray. And y'all helped me in the last, I'd say, 4 years in my prayer life, just seeing how faithful that you are. I remember when I had surgery, I called Brother Steve in the middle of the night, about 1 o'clock maybe, and he just right then prayed for me. And I called him because I knew that God would be ready to hear. I knew that he would have his sin account handled, and I knew that God would hear his prayer. And I just thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for our children. Brother Johnny was talking about them in Master Club. In Junior Church, every service we take up prayer requests. And they're faithful in praying for John Daniel. They're faithful. Those girls are praying for their Uncle Josh in Afghanistan. And it's the same thing at the school when I'm here for chapel. And they don't just get that from just because they're kids and they think, well, I think we ought to pray. They see Mom and Dad doing it. And they see the church doing it. So I know I'm preaching to the choir on this evening, but if you're here this evening and you're struggling with your prayer life, that's an important part of our life. That's important. Could you imagine what God could do for us this year if every single member of the church was praying like we should be? If I was praying like I should, what God could do? You know, that's how we speak to our Father. That's how we speak to God. So we should keep that short sin account. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we need to do. So number one is we need to pray. We need to pray this year. We do every Wednesday night, we take up prayer requests, and we have a prayer bulletin and an ongoing prayer list. And Brother Johnny read over a prayer list this evening. And those people are dependent on us to pray. You know, the White House isn't praying for them. The Capitol building's not praying for them. They're not praying for them at school. There's people that come to me all the time that ask me to pray for them because they know that this is a praying church. So we need to do that, number one. Number two, read your Bible. I was going to mention something about those Bibles out there, and then Brother Johnny had mentioned it. But I got to thinking, there's somebody somewhere that doesn't have a Bible. And it's sitting here in our building. I praise the Lord we get those out because sometimes I think we take for granted. You know, you ever heard people say you don't know what you have till you lose it? It may come a day we may lose this. We may have to die or lose this. I mean, you say, well, I don't think that'll come to that. Well, I'm sure that a lot of people that, you know, when you think something won't happen, the next thing you know, it's starting to happen. And so we have several Bibles at our house, and then there's some people that don't even have the Word of God. And we just take it for granted. In 2 Timothy, chapter number 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to not only read our Bible, but do like Brother French said this morning, meditate upon it. See, it's one thing, just like he said, to open the Bible and read three verses and then take it and put it down and then grab it the next morning and read it. But meditate on it all day long. You know, get something out of it. I don't know how many times at work they'll have an email come and they'll say, everybody needs to read this, and I'll read it and delete it. And then 2 days later they'll come and say, now we got to do this and this. And I'll be like, what are you talking about? They'll say, remember we read the email. How many of us do that with our Bible? Well, we just read it, but we don't even know what it said. Well, you know, we went through the actions of opening it up and reading it. And I guess, you know, that's better than not opening it up, but you ought to meditate on it. You know, the Bible in Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so that means it's cutting, it's coming and going. So we need to be in the Word of God so we can grow. So you ever seen I've got one here, Brother French. You ever seen an apple tree? I knew a guy that used to raise apple trees. And he'd always tell me, I'd mowed yards, and I always said, you always cut that thing up, and it's never going to, you're just cutting it down. He says, if you don't prune it back and cut it, it can't grow. And see, that's, sometimes the Word of God has to cut me so I can grow. If I don't ever open the Bible, and I don't ever read the Word of God, and I don't ever get under conviction, I'm not going to grow. So, we need to use it as our food. You know, the devil has tried from the beginning to change the Word of God. Over in Genesis chapter number 3, there around verse number 4, when he says, he tells them in the garden, the devil tells them that surely God's not said that. You know, you eat of that fruit, surely that's not what God... God was trying to change what... I mean, the devil was trying to change what God had told them. And it's still going on today. He's still trying to change it. So that's why we need to hide the Word of God in our heart each and every day. I'm going to use something in junior church this year. This last year, I've been working with them. Before I do my message, we say the books of the Bible. And they've got that down real good. I'm proud of your kids. They go right through the books of the Bible. I thought, what a blessing for 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year olds to be able to just, you could ask them to sit there and recite it, and they could tell you every book of the Bible. I mean, I was 20-some years old before I did that. What a blessing to be able to do that at a young age. But we're going to do memory verses. I appreciate my Sunday school teacher. Of course, I'm getting ready to do the new converts class, but my Sunday school teacher, and I'm not trying to brag on him this evening. I know I've done used him for an example, but I appreciate him challenging us to remember the Word of God, to be able to recite the Scripture. You might be out at work one day and someone may need some help from the Word of God. You may not have your Bible with you, but if you've got that verse and you can quote it to them, God will use that. Hide that word in your heart. I appreciate that, Brother Steve, challenging us to do that. And so I'm going to do that with our kids. Of course, it won't be at the extent that he challenges us. Romans, we did the whole book of Romans, chapter 8, but what a blessing. But we're gonna work on that because it's important. It's important. We should know the Bible. We should know the Word of God. I was, let me read this first in Matthew chapter number 4. Of course, you all know the scripture here. When Jesus was tempted, in verse number 4, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then you go down to verse 7 and he says again, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then down in verse 10 he says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." See, Jesus was showing us there. There's a lot of stuff you can get out of this, but one thing is that we need to hide the Word of God in our heart. We need to be able to use the Word of God because the devil is always attacking us. I believe it was Brother Bob Ferguson. I heard him preaching one time, and he was talking about this boy that had got saved and went home and was on his couch. And he said he got scared. His little boy, he got scared because he said the devil was underneath of his couch telling him, "Well, you didn't get saved." And he says, "I did. I got saved, devil." He says, "Ah, you didn't get saved." And he said, "Yeah, I did. I got saved." And eventually that little boy just took his Bible out, slid it up under the couch and said, "Read it for yourself." So, we need to be able to do that. I was reading a missionary letter the other evening. I don't know if y'all have read this one or seen it. I had to walk out of the room. Me and Isaac and Tara, he was getting ready to go to bed, and I had to leave the room. Because Brother Robbie Mullinax in China, remember when he was here several years ago and we took him on as a missionary? I still remember his prayer request. We were new members at that time. I still remember his prayer request. He said, if we was going to pray for anything, that we would pray that God would make him invisible every time he enters that country. Because he has to take those Bibles in by suitcase. And if he gets pulled aside and they open that suitcase, they're not letting him in. And that was his prayer request, that we would just pray as a church that every time he crossed that line, and every time he had to go through customs, that God would just make him invincible. And I thought about that when I was reading that. But this prayer letter he just had back in November, I believe. The lady's name, I believe, is Shumeng or Shumung. And this lady was in her house. And the government came, Chinese government, they came in and they went to her house looking for Bibles. And they found a Bible she had hidden under her stove. She took that Bible and she clenched it. And they took her out in the streets and they spit on her and they stomped her. And I believe the letter said for about 3 hours, and she was holding on to that Bible. That's all she had. They stripped her clothes and she was holding on to that Bible. And them men, they took lead pipes. They beat her hands. She said she'd never felt nothing like that before. And they deformed her hands until she let that Bible go. And they took it from her. And one day, I don't know how many years it had been. I can't remember what the letter says. But years later, she was young at that time. And years later when she was older, a missionary come through and give her a stack of Bibles. She just stood there, help it. I just take my Bible home and set it down like it's nothing. I always use this Bible to preach and teach out of because it's small and it's convenient. And here's the light that had the Word of God taken from her. And there's people waiting on those Bibles that may have never had a Bible. May have been years since they've been able to hold a Bible. So you pray for them, especially in China. In those countries like that where they don't want the Word of God. See, we're spoiled here in America. We think we have it made. I read the Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray there and he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're spoiled. We don't pray for our daily bread. We just, if I'm hungry, I'll go to the refrigerator and get something. It's going to be there. We take that stuff for granted. You know, God's blessed this country. And I'm glad to be an American. But we need to not take for granted what God's given us. We need to, you know, we're much is given, much is expected. And so we need to be faithful for that, with that, reading our Bible. Now, we're going to hand out these daily bread here in just a little bit for the family. And whether you read that or some other devotion, or get in, as long as you're getting in the Word of God. See, you know what's going to make this church strong this year? It's not going to be because we have, if the pews are full and we're taking up big offerings. That's not what's going to make this church strong. What's going to make this church strong is each and every family getting around the altar at home and praying and reading the Bible. That's what's going to make our church strong. Not the big attendance, not a big choir, not the beautiful music we have, but it's the families and the families taking that time. Number three. So we got praying, Bible reading. Number three, attending our church. Now I want to say this. I don't want to say this in a way to hurt anybody or be offensive. So I'm going to be careful how I say this. But in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. And I remember when I first got saved, I had a gentleman come down to my office. And he was saw that I have some scriptures on the wall. And he didn't take long for him to talk to me. And he realized that I was a Christian. And you ever run into one of them people that you know they're not a Christian? And you know they don't go to church, but they can tell you. They can tell you everything there is to know about everything. We talked about that this morning. They don't know nothing. Of course, when I first got saved, I used to would say stuff I probably shouldn't say. Not bad stuff, but I mean, I just lash back out because I was just trying to defend what I believed. And that could be a bad thing, but in a way it could be a good thing because I probably don't say near, now I don't speak up near enough. See, we're afraid we're going to offend somebody, so we won't say it now. But I told this gentleman. He said, I believe the Bible. I said, you believe every word of God? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, then I'll see you Sunday, won't I? And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, I'll see you at church Sunday. He says, well, you won't see me at church. I said, well, it says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. And if you believe every word of God, you'll be at church. But I probably shouldn't have went that. That wasn't a way to invite someone to church. I can tell you that right now. That's how you run them off from church. But anyway, the church is a group of believers who've been baptized and have organized themselves together for the purpose of doing God's will. See, we need to be careful about how we approach people in coming to church. There's been more people that's left a church that aren't even in church no more because of what someone has said to them more than any other reason you could give them. It's because something that you said, you may have not have meant to be harmful about it, but you don't understand. When someone comes to church, if someone's here tonight and they haven't been here a while, I praise the Lord that you came tonight because I know what a battle that was to get here tonight. I remember back when I first got saved, I kind of struggled with attending church. And so I know that the devil is just pounding and pounding on you. And it's a victory won when you walk through those doors. And so I praise the Lord. So we ought to be careful about how we approach people. Don't use the example I gave, but maybe, you know, when someone comes into church, maybe the first thing you don't want to do is run out there and say, hey, brother, hey, good to see you. Let me grab you a visitor card. Where you been in a while? That's probably not what you want to say to them. Because you don't understand. If you've never been out of church, you don't understand what a battle that the devil, they've been struggling to get there. And for them to come, that's a victory. And we ought to just praise the Lord for them. We ought to encourage them, not discourage them. You know, oh, brother, that's my teacher sitting in there. Well, praise the Lord. I'll set up in the choir loft if I have to. I won't sing, but I'll set up in the choir loft if I have to. Well, you won't want me to sing. I might sing, but I don't know. But that's the purpose of the church. We're to glorify God, to preach the gospel, to produce holy Christians, you know, to care for our own, to do good in this world. That's what we as a church, we need to do. See, you ought to be faithful this year. And I know that you're sick and you can't attend, or something comes up and you have to be out of town or you can't attend. But you ought to try. You ought to try by the grace of God to try to come every time you can, because God will bless you for it. Number four. When a guy told me this one, I kind of looked at him like, I don't know about you, but he was talking about tithing. And so I'm not going to hit hard on this, because I don't want to, you're either doing this one or you're not. There's not much I can do about it. But I know in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 24 that the Bible says that no man can serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. I had to talk about discouraging a Christian. When I first got saved, I had a gentleman that had been a member of the church there that Jubilee for years. And I worked with him. And he saw me putting my offering in every week. And he came up to me. I worked with him. He came up to me one day at work and he says, why are you wasting your time putting money in the offering plate? You're not even a member of our church. And I thought, well, now, I didn't know then. That wasn't too encouraging, was it? But I thought to myself, well, I should have told him this, but I was thinking, well, there's two reasons. One, I'm not a member anywhere. I just got saved. And I just know that I was reading and the preacher was preaching. I read that that God expects me to give back to him. And so I was giving back to him. I didn't know that, I don't expect our guests to give. But I also pay where I eat, and I was eating there. I was eating at that church, but the second thing was, I was thinking, well, this church sent someone and led me to the Lord, so I'm going to support the ministry here. So you ought to be able to tithe in offerings. And so I'm not going to, that's all I'm going to say about that point. We're going to get to the last one, and then we'll be dismissed. So we have praying, Bible reading, church attendance, tithing, and last, find somewhere to serve God. Look in Matthew chapter number 28. Look at what Jesus says here. Matthew chapter number 28. And verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them also to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. See, you ought to find a place and serve the Lord. Because everything that we do here, whether you're in the choir, or you sing a special, or you play the piano, or you clean the bathrooms, it's all so souls can get saved. You know, you think, well, all I do is vacuum. That's not that big a deal. Well, let's stop vacuuming for about 2 or 3 months and see if we have anybody coming in. They're going to walk in the doors and say, well, this place is a pigsty, and they're going to leave. That's important. And if God gives you the ability to sing, you ought to get up and sing a special. If He hasn't, do like I do, sing in the crowd. But, I mean, you ought to find somewhere and serve the Lord. See, we're not all going to stand up front, and we're not all going to be seen. But we're all just equally important. See, the one giving the message is just as important as the one that prayed that morning for the service that no one knew about. Because see, they went into the prayer closet. They didn't get in front of all the men and all the people and say all these fancy prayers. They prayed at home that God would show up at church today. And that's the hero right there. I mean, all I'm doing this evening is just delivering God's word. But that's the heroes right there. The ones that's changed the light bulbs. And the ones that's swept and prepared for tonight's service. That's the ones that are the hero. See, Jesus said in Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. See, that's the last thing Jesus told us when he left. And you see, you read there, they were standing there gazing. And they asked those men, why stand here gazing? That Jesus that left, he's coming back in the like manner. And so, let's not be like those men. You know, it's okay. I'm not saying don't keep your eyes on heaven, don't keep your eyes on the goal. But don't just stand there waiting on Jesus to come back. Get busy about something. I've always said this. I heard this when I first got saved, and I believe it with all my heart. If all God wanted out of you was for you to be a real good worshiper at church, I believe this with all my heart. God would take you home tonight. Because you can worship Him a lot better in His presence than you can here on earth. I believe with all my heart that we ought to do something for the Lord, whatever it is. There's so many ministries you can get involved in. I think of like Brother McDonald at the nursing home. There's another one of my heroes. You know, Brother Johnny, I'm like you. I love to take a nap on Sunday, but Brother McDonald, he is every Sunday right there at that nursing home, and his wife and the ladies that help him, and I know that different ladies come and play the pianos, and those are heroes. Because I'll be honest with you, I've went out there before and preached a message for him, wondering if anybody even heard what I said. But you know what? That's not what God called us to do. We're just supposed to go do it. We're supposed to be faithful in it. We're supposed to find somewhere and serve the Lord. Because just like the McDonald's saying, I done forgot the lyrics. I was trying to remember them. But if another soul got saved, it'd be worth it. One more soul would get saved. If we didn't have but one soul get saved last year for everything that we did, it would have been worth everything we did last year. It would have been worth all the money we spent. It would have been worth all the heartaches we went through. Praise the Lord, we had more than one soul get saved. But this year, in 2012, let's focus on finding somewhere to serve God. You say, well, what can I do? Well, I'm sure if you come and ask the pastor, my father-in-law, he said when he first got saved, he always at the church with Brother Bob Ferguson, just hanging around with him, just freshly saved, excited, on fire. I remember Brother Bob was preaching one time, and he said, I had to give Brother Kelly a job so he'd leave me alone. Because I couldn't get nothing done with him right on me all the time, so I had to give him a job. So I sent him over there and let him start printing John and Romans and sending them out. But there's something somewhere. God can use you. So serve the Lord. Attend church, tithe, read your Bible, and pray. If you do those five things, I mean, there's a lot more we can do, but those five things right there, I think that's the key. I really do. I know when I feel like that I'm struggling, I'm not doing one of those things. I don't know. I mean, it's just God will bless. And it's kind of like I was told when I first got saved, you know, if you can just believe the first five words of the Bible, you won't have any problem with the rest of it. If you could just believe that in the beginning God created, if you can settle that, the rest of it will be, there's nothing in here that you can't understand. You just got to pray about it. You got to ask God, the Holy Spirit, the author of it, to help you. But you do those five things, and I think it'd be a help to you. Let's all stand, and we'll have a song of invitation.